Matthew 6, 16 through 18. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but your Father who is in the secret place, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. So this follows Jesus' teaching on what we call the Lord's Prayer. I'm not meaning to be contrary. I think we should call it the disciples' prayer because it's him teaching us to pray. So I'm not trying to change that because I don't want to. I'm not qualified. But it's our Father which art in heaven, so we know that. And then he follows this with this talk about fasting. And I want to point out to you, he doesn't say if you fast, he says when you fast. So fasting is a normal part of the Christian experience. I'm hopefully going to answer some questions about fasting today as we process through this. An often asked question is, how often should I fast? And in fact, this question was asked of Jesus, and he actually gave us an answer, so we don't have to wonder. His answer is good, right? We're going to be okay with Jesus' answer. All right. Matthew 9, 14 through 17, then the disciples of John came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. So there are religious fasts that I like to call hunger strikes for Jesus, where we think that by not eating, we're going to get God to do something he doesn't really want to do. I remember when I was a new Christian, I won't get into the details of how, but the whole thing that was happening in Korea with that movement with Dr. Yonggi Cho and fasting prayer power, you know. And so I did that until I crashed my metabolism because I thought more fasting meant I was going to be more spiritual. Has anybody else wandered a bit in their journey to Christ? You know what I mean? Hey, if you tell me, I was in bodybuilding, and they told me a vitamin would help me grow muscles, I would take two of them. So it's just that kind of that mindset where it's just all in. And so I've always kind of been that way. But a religious fast like the Pharisees did is covered in the first five verses of Isaiah 58. So we're not going to cover that today, but you can read it and see that's the one you don't want to do. But it leads to strife. If you can tell if you're doing a fast incorrectly because it leads to strife. So the Pharisees fasted often, but they ended up wanting to kill Jesus. So I'm just going to step out on a limb and say they just missed something. All right? So fasting is or can be harmful if it's done for the wrong reason or motivation. All right? So I'm not talking about fasting for health purposes. I'm just talking about fasting in prayer to God. So the reason for fasting is given by Jesus in a bit of a cryptic way. When the bridegroom is present, rejoice. When the bridegroom is taken away, it's time to fast. And I think this connects us with the presence of the Lord. You know when you pray and you can sense the presence of God and you're in that flow of the Spirit, just rejoice. But if you feel like there's something blocking you up, clogging you up, then you can't access the presence of God in prayer, there's no need to be condemning. Right? There's no need to be condemning, right? Oh, my goodness. But condemnation's so familiar. No, we don't want to get into that. So I say things and maybe they're a little bit off, but I don't mean to be crude. But if you don't take a shower for a while and you're working hard outside, you're going to get a bit stanky. right? We live in this world, and just interacting with this world and living in this world spiritually, you can get a bit stanky. And you might need to fast just to get that rinsed off. Is this so? There's physical and spiritual parallels in this, but if I know there's times when I'm in prayer and I'm in earnest and I'm seeking God and it feels like there's just a brass covering, I'm not getting through. Is anybody else? I know you guys don't go through that, but I do. So then I know it's time to fast. And then you can fast, fasting and prayer, not just, that's just individually, but corporately, we want a move of God in the church. And we want a move of God in Paso Robles, in California. That'll stretch your faith. And we need a move of God in the United States and in the world. Because what's happening right now is global. I don't get all worked up like some people do. It's about Republicans and Democrats. It's about conservatives and liberals. And it's like, really, are you tired of that? The enemy's the enemy, not people. So, anyways, Jesus' remarks here, I think, Isaiah was prophesying by the spirit of prophecy in Isaiah 58, so that was Christ testifying through him by the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus is speaking, he's kind of quoting himself, but he's reflecting somewhat on that. We heard a great message on wineskins and renewing the wineskins, and so it's connected to fasting. If we want your wineskin renewed, there are things that you'll go through in that process, but the thing that's initiating it is fasting. Fasting is the thing. Because fasting is given to us by the Lord to subject our primary appetites to the Spirit. So let me read to you from Genesis 1, verses 26 through 31. Now, this is before the fall of mankind, yes? Fall of mankind, Genesis 3, creation of man. So then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also every beast of the earth, every bird of the air, and over everything that creeps in the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. Then God said, everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good, so it was evening and morning were the sixth day. So he outlines three appetites here. The first appetite is for dominion, verses 26 and 28. It's sort of like a dominion sandwich. I'm going to mention a word we're not supposed to say in church. The second appetite is for sex. Oh, I'm not supposed to say it that happily. And the third appetite is for food. So God created us with these appetites, and he put them in there, and he said it's very good. It's just that when these appetites are ruling us as opposed to the Spirit. So what happened when man fell was the order of his life was reversed. So instead of the fellowship with the Spirit running our lives in communion with God, that was submerged. Our spirit died to God. And so we're now run by our appetites, emotions, and feelings. And fasting helps us put that back in order, okay? So dominion, because I use words, and everybody has their thought maybe about what dominion, I'm just going to give you my thoughts. Dominion is to fast. So we want to fast all these appetites, not just food, okay? So dominion to me is relinquish the need to be in control and surrender to the Lord. Because the statement of dominion in the context here is to control our environment. And sometimes we like to control other people's environment. So fast, okay? So fast that. The middle one that I got excited about earlier, it doesn't need any, you guys, you know, there's 7.5 billion people on the planet. We get that one. So that one's just don't do that while you're fasting, okay? And then the other appetite is food. But food is the one that seems to give us the ability to take authority over the other two. So fasting is always talked about in the context of food. I'm just expanding it here because over the years, I've felt that putting all these appetites under submission to the Spirit is appropriate. Okay. I mean, imagine how much better the world would be if all three of those appetites were under submission to the Holy Spirit. There wouldn't be wars. There wouldn't be all the violation of... Anyway, I'm not going to go there. So while submitting these appetites to the Lord, we're free to seek the Lord without distraction. You guys are going to stay totally quiet through this whole message, aren't you? It's okay. So we're fasting. I just want to say, when the Bible talks about Paul writing, mostly writes about the flesh, the sinful nature, the outer man. He's talking about that carnal part of our lives, you know, and putting that. In some verses, he calls it the natural man. So it becomes natural for us to function in this world in a certain way, and we need to periodically just, reverse that and get the Holy Spirit ascendant in our lives. Amen? So Isaiah 58, I'm just going to read verses 6 through 12. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? Sounds like the one we want, right? This is God speaking. To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring your house, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and you not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. And you will cry, and you will say, "Here I am." If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. And you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places, and you shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. So here we're introduced to the many blessings that fasting procures for us. And again, this is a day. If God calls you to a longer fast, that's between you and God. That's when fasts are called. Anytime a fast was called in the Bible by leadership, it was a day. And a Jewish day goes from sunset to sunset. So you can eat breakfast and lunch one day, skip dinner, skip breakfast and lunch the next day and eat dinner, and so you're basically fasting three meals. Again, just a reminder, if you're having trouble with any of these areas that we're going to cover, fasting will just bring them back. It's a restorative process. When you fast, I'm not going to cover it as we go through this, but I'm just going to mention it here because it's mentioned in the text. When you fast, you're going to save money on food. That doesn't mean you get to buy twice as much food the next day. What the scripture is saying is that money that you saved on food feeds someone who doesn't have anything. So for me, it could be it could show up as a donation to Loaves and Fishes or some kind of a program where, because it's hard to bring someone into your house that's standing on the corner with a sign, you know. Like me, I stand out there, we'll preach for food, you know. So let's go through these verses real quickly. First one is verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? So a godly fast leads us to freedom from wickedness. Now, doesn't that wickedness, that sounds bad, doesn't it? It sounds like something you want to avoid. But when we use words We use them in a certain way, and other people use them in a certain way, but it matters how they use them in the biblical way. So in this time frame, it's basically addressing that part of our fallen nature that wants to disobey God's word. It just puts that under submission. It can be translated iniquity. So sin is something that is committed. Iniquity is that part of me that wants to. So wickedness is connected to iniquity, which means there's part of me. Have you ever wanted to do something you know God's word said don't do? Yeah. Just one more cookie. So that fasting puts that down. To undo heavy burdens. So I look at this as like a more like an emotional healing. So the first one's sort of a spiritual healing, to just be set free from the bondage of that nature that is in opposition to God. The second one is kind of more in the emotional realm, if the heavy burdens. If you see someone and their countenance has fallen, there's a heaviness, but it's emotional. It can be spiritual and emotional, but it's usually emotional. So I just listed, this isn't a complete list by any stretch of the imagination, but unforgiveness, carried offenses, could be an emotional, directly emotional burden like guilt or shame or insecurities or pride or unbelief, which are those, you can probably fill out a list of things that you've gone through in your own life. Depression, I don't know, there's all kinds of things, but fasting will release you from that, okay? Freedom from oppression, this is the third layer, and this is demonic bondage and generational curses and things like that. Break every yoke, and I'm listing that as religious bondage, like the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. We don't want to be those guys, right? You shouldn't do that, but then you're doing it. You know, that's probably not good. So I want to be free from all that. And what's kind of interesting to me is there's a lot of study that's been going on in recent years, and I'm probably going to say it wrong, and maybe the back row can help me out, but neuroplasticity. Did I get it? Hallelujah. Not bad for a second grade education. But it's a study of how that you can kind of rewire your brain, rewrite your brain. And so this was written 2,800 years ago. So I'm going to say God's a little ahead. But as you're doing this, you're rewriting the way your brain operates, so you're not walking around it with offense, with bitterness, with anger, with all these negative emotions that are coming from something that can be broken through fasting and prayer. Okay? Come on. Help me out. Verse 8. I skipped verse 7. How'd you like that? We're moving quickly now. Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. This all sounds pretty good to me. So Jesus called us to be light in this dark world, yes? He is the light of the world. When he enters us, then we become the lights of the world. We're not the light of the world. We become lights of the world because we're carrying him. So, but again, we can acquire burdens just from living in this world, just like working real hard out of doors. You can get a little stinky and you need a shower. It's just the same process. It's not that there's something wrong with you or you're a bad person. We've got to move out of that paradigm where we're constantly guilting and shaming and condemning and just like, forget that. You know? I remember one time somebody, I was talking this way and someone said to me, you know, you do things wrong too. I go, well, you want a list? How do you want me to prioritize it? Least to worst, worst to least, start in the middle? Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody does things wrong. We live in this world. You're going to make bad choices. Some of you made bad, you know, wardrobe choices today. But anyways, I'm just kidding. So I'm going to step on my just prior statement here. Light can be seen in love and truth. The light of Jesus. Full of grace and truth, the Bible says. But these are strengthened. Love and truth are strengthened during fasting. Unless you do it the wrong way, then you want to slap somebody. That's what Isaiah said. If you read the first five verses, you'll see that. Healing shall spring forth speedily. So, yes, God does supernatural healing. We believe that. Otherwise, why do we keep praying for it? And sometimes we see it. We've seen some wonderful healings here. I've seen some really incredible healings overseas when traveling. But I think this is talking more about our body coming into order emotionally, spiritually, and physically through fasting. There's a healing benefit to fasting. So I'm not taking away supernatural healing. I'm saying there's a healing benefit to fasting as our body is cleansed of toxins and all kinds. I mean, spiritual toxins, emotional toxins, physical toxins. So hydrate, 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 all right, when you're fasting. Fasting separates us from our own selfishness and into His righteousness. So there's three words. We don't hear them much anymore. We usually hear stuff like how to be the best you or whatever. Some of it today, I'm not going to go there. There's three words that we don't hear a lot except when we're singing: holiness, sanctification, and consecration. So we know from the scripture it says that you alone are holy. You alone dwell in the heavens. Those kinds of statements about God. The word holy, the root word for holy and sanctification are the same, and it basically means to be separated. And God is completely separate in His holiness from His creation, but He wants to integrate with us. That's what's so amazing. We could stop there and have church for a couple of millennia. Just on that fact alone that God, He wants to interact with us. And there's times I don't even want to interact with myself and I run around, but everywhere I go, I'm still there. Have you ever had a day where you're just like, man, if I could just get away from myself, I would be so happy. And everywhere I go, there I am. So God is holy, right? So we're going to say God is over here to my right. And I'm going over here to my left. And so the left wall is the world and the right wall is God. And as I'm moving toward God, I'm experiencing sanctification, which basically means separated from. So I'm separating from the world, right? Consecration is a slightly different word. It means separated to. So I'm sanctifying myself from the world and I'm consecrating myself to God. That's just a simple way to help you understand those kind of complex words. But He alone is holy, right? Holiness is credited to us like righteousness through the grace of God and the finished work of Jesus on the cross. It's not because, like, and you guys are really holy today. You know? In the spirit we are, because that's a gift that God gives us. But we still have this fallen nature to deal with. And sometimes if you stop feeding it for a day, it gets better. That's the point. Verse 9. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. Does that sound like a good deal? I mean, come on. You shall cry, ah, or whatever, however you cry. And He will say, here I am. Stop crying. No, He doesn't. He just says, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst and the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. Oh, here we go. So I'm just going to say this. I might be wrong, but this statement, if you take away the yoke from your midst and the pointing of the finger of speaking wickedness, is parenthetical. It's just generally applied throughout. It's not like you're only going to be able to do this after you hear the Lord say, here I am. I don't think that's what the text is saying. I think, but this the yoke, again, is taking us back to that religious spirit that feels like we can judge everybody else. That's a nasty spirit. It is a nasty spirit. And it's not just limited to other religions. We have it in our... So I know everybody talks about the Crusades, and I'm not going to talk about the merits or badness or whatever, but as far as Christians, rallying people to go out and slaughter a bunch of people that don't believe the way we believe, I'm going to step out on a limb and say that wasn't what Jesus had in mind. And so I don't want that yoke. Do you feel that yoke come on you sometimes? You know, it's especially the way the world is right now when people say certain things like build back better, or just they'll say stuff that just makes no sense at all. And all of a sudden, I'll just be like, oh, what you? I'm going to spend my way into prosperity. I've tried it for years and it doesn't work. Come on, you guys. But I don't want that spirit. I sometimes enjoy it, but I don't want it. No, come on. But we don't want to be like that. It's hard, but it's hard in this world. And with fasting and prayer, I can lose that attitude. I make fun of it, but sometimes it's real for me. It's just like, oh my goodness, these people, what are they going to stop? You know? But how wonderful is it to hear the Lord say in your heart, I'm not saying you're going to hear this big booming voice, but if you do, let me know and I'm going to join you in your next prayer time. But if you hear the voice of the Lord in your heart, say, here I am. Wow. People are knocking themselves out for acquiring so much stuff, wealth, power. There's people that want to rule the world and shape the world in their own image and all these. It's all the spirit of Antichrist. I don't care if it's the billionaire oligarchs or politicians or I don't care who it is or some religious leaders. But hearing God say in your heart, here I am, is better than all of that stuff. Because you know what? The longer I live, the more I realize this is really just a, you know, the dash between the two dates on the stone that marks where you used to be. It's so short. For some people, it's really short. For some people, we think it's long. But for the people we think it's long, it's really short compared to eternity. But if we can walk through this life and hear God say, here I am, we could be like Paul and Silas singing in a prison cell. I don't want to put that in, you know, I hope I don't have to prove that, but. So, but let's don't go, those people over there, or those, you know, I don't want to. I'll probably do it again, but I don't want to. Verse 11. The Lord will guide you continually. Oh. Come on, you guys, get happy. This is amazing. He's going to say in your heart, here I am, and then he'll guide you continually. That's a good deal. He'll satisfy your soul in drought. Now, again, context, context, context. What's the context of the land of Israel? It's a desert. And anytime you talk about water, water is a huge blessing in the desert. Yes? And so when you, thank you. Said the desert dwellers. Anytime you see this well-watered or springs or something like that, it's a blessing, but it's also, we need to understand it is spiritually or metaphorically, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. There will be this steady flow of the Holy Spirit in your life. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Yes, so as we're reading through this about fasting, and maybe you haven't heard this before or you haven't thought about it this way, but I hope you will. And then so your faith can be built up and you can be strengthened greatly through fasting. Because otherwise, if you just think you're fasting to get God to do something he didn't previously want to do, you're going to be very unhappy with fasting. Okay? God loves us. He gave us this whole planet. He gave us dominion over it, and we flubbed it up. And now we're in the process of restoration, so this is going to bring us to the last verse, right? That we're going to look at. I'm sorry, not the last verse, but the last verse we're going to look at. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. I believe this speaks of a transgenerational blessing that accompanies fasting. I want all I can get when it comes to the things of God. From the day I got saved, I've had this hunger for his word, for his presence, and then there's times when it's been clouded out by trauma and different things. It's just normal life, but it just has never gone away. I love learning new things. about God's word. And the thing that interests me the most is the historical and cultural context, because I really have a hunger to know. When you said that, Isaiah, 2,800 years ago, how would the people hear it back then? Because I need to know that so I can apply it to today. And so much of that's being rolled over today, it's sad. But it requires a little energy, a little work. So this transgeneral blessing that accompanies fasting means that as I'm being restored, it's also passing on that capacity to restore to my children. Whatever I get in this life, I just want to go for it, go for what I can get, but I want my kids to have more. And I want my grandkids to have more than them. I just want that to just multiply. Faith to faith, glory to glory. Yeah, that's what we want. I don't know how else to look at this other than three words: renewal, restoration, and revival. Because I think that's the promise of fasting. It starts off on a personal level. I can pray for this country to have revival, but if I don't have revival in myself, I'm asking God to give the country something I'm not even walking in. So that's the order. I think renewal to me is those of us who have walked in faith and our faith being renewed and restored. And then revival is the spreading out to everyone else. Wouldn't it be great? I think it'd be so cool if we had to meet at the fairgrounds and all, and actually we got along with other churches. Wouldn't that be amazing? You know, I was thinking about this the other day. This is a tiny bitty rabbit trail. When we first came to Paso Robles, I owned a gym, and so we were owners and operators of that. And I had been saved, about a year and a few months. And back then, I thought it was my responsibility to win everybody to the Lord. And so forgive me for that. I had that kind of zeal. And so we were witnessing. There was amazing things happening. There was a witch coven that got broken up. One of the witches got delivered of demonic power. And some of the other witches got saved, but it ended up breaking up the coven, and things started changing spiritually. And I remember one day, one of my aerobics instructors, so if you can picture the 80s with big hair and really tight outfits, she had shin splints, and so we prayed, and her shin splints were healed. And if you've ever had shin splints, they're painful. It wasn't like they were healed over time. It was instantaneous. So there was cool things happening. I was standing with my pastor, and I were standing with about eight, people that were wanting to know how to get saved. So we prayed with them the sinner's prayer. They got saved. And while we were praying the sinner's prayer, six of them started speaking in tongues before we had a chance to tell them about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So God was moving like that. And then I got sick, and then some people from church said that I didn't know what I was doing, which I already knew that, but I wasn't qualified to lead this group of people that was coming to Christ and being filled with the Spirit, and broke it up. So I've had this thought in my mind all these years, and I see that pattern in the book of Acts. I'm not comparing myself to the apostles, don't hear that, but the pattern in the book of Acts is there's great move of God, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, miracles, signs, and wonders, people getting saved. We had that on a micro level. So book of Acts, macro, me, micro, whatever. But the first thing that started to derail that revival in Jerusalem in the book of Acts is internal strife and deceit. And I thought, wow, after all these years, it's written there for us so we can learn. We don't have to do that, right? We don't have to try to figure out who's right, us or the people down the street. Of course it's us, but we got to lose that mindset, because probably the person that's here today with the most experience of the charismatic renewal is Dennis, who was serving in the Catholic Church. And the Holy Spirit was being outpoured on the high church, and the low church, that's us, was angry because how could God do that? They're not even saved. I'm not saying that's true, but that was the mindset. So there was all this strife that was being that was occurring over a move of the Holy Spirit. That's lunacy. That's like Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead and pulling him out of the grave and the religious people gathering together and saying, let's kill Lazarus. What, again? You know, it's just, there's something wrong with us. But fasting gets rid of that part of us that wants to be right. I like what the writer said, God be true and every man a liar. That's me on a good day. But God is, he's the only one worth our allegiance. And I want to see a move of the Spirit, and I don't want to mess it up. And I think I have potential to mess it up. I mean, you know what I mean? But I just through fasting and prayer and just putting down that nature that wants to be recognized, wants to be noticed, wants all that attention. Does anybody else go through this stuff? You know, like, hey, that person was ill, but I prayed for them. That's how what I say, we just broom that. Just look what Jesus did. I believe in the laying on of hands. I believe in altar calls. I believe in all that. But I just want to see God heal people in their chairs so no one can say, look what I did. So those from among us will bring restoration that will honor those that have gone before us. We can't have a generational break from before us and then not expect one after us. If we can't honor our elders, we will not be honored by our youngers. I don't know if that's a word. But. So you can tell I'm anointed. I'm making up words. So can we do this? Can we continue to fast one day a week? And I'm not telling you how to do it, but just fast one day a week just until the presence of Jesus comes in full glory, full power, full healing witness. And just, so I don't want to do it just so this small group of people can be touched. I want it to hit the whole church. The whole church.